Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome into the Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU, and don't forget, after our live shows there, you can revisit them as our podcast. You can find them at stevejonesshow.com on the podcast page, and they're also available on iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. So if you listen to the podcast on either Apple or Google, we encourage you to subscribe today. If you do listen to us on iTunes, don't hesitate to leave us a review. You can also drop us an email anytime, stevejones@wkok.com, stevejones@wkok.com. Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Just a little under 48 hours past the U.S. Open Golf Championship at Erin Hills, Wisconsin, with Brooks Koepka winning the title. Record-breaking day, firing a final round of 67, tied a U.S. Open record, 16 under par, and slammed the door on Brian Harman. So we'll have more golf talk coming up in just a little bit. 3:35 this afternoon we have scheduled, the longtime golf writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, also Steelers writer during the fall. And also get to hear him on the Steelers pregame show over on 100.9 The Valley. Jerry Dulac. Jerry will be joining us at about 3:35 this afternoon. So we'll get some golf talk in from Jerry, put a bow on the U.S. Open. And then we count down to Royal Birkdale. A lot of people call it the British Open, but they like to call it the Open. So that'll be about a month away over in the U.K. We'll be with you till 5 live here on WKOK. And after that, late day news roundup. Chris Elio at the anchor desk this afternoon. And then we'll get into Phillies baseball tonight. Phillies with the day off yesterday. And they will be opening up a 3-game series at home tonight, Citizens Bank Park, against the St. Louis Cardinals. First pitch at 7:05. So we will have the warm up tonight at about 6:30. Cardinals currently 31-37 overall, and they're now 5.5 behind the Brewers for the division lead, only 2 in front of last place Cincinnati. So that has been the scenario here during the first few months of the Major League Baseball season, how tight the Central Division is from the top to the bottom. Cardinals facing the one team that they have had success against lately, and that would be the Phillies. 3 games earlier this month, June 9, 10, and 11, the Cardinals handed Philadelphia, handled them easily, 3-game sweep. They won a pair of 1-run games to open the series, and then there was a 7-0 victory in there as well. But since then, the Cardinals have lost 5 of 7, and they've got Leak on the mound tonight, 5 and 6, and Jeremy Hellickson will be on the bump for the Fightins tonight. He's got a record of 5 and 5 with a 4.91 ERA. Little Scott in L.A. will have that for you tonight here on WKOK from Citizens Bank Park. And 7:05. 7:05 tomorrow night, and then they have, a matinee matchup on Thursday. So we will not have a show.
That means no show for us.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, the lake sunning himself? It also means several calls to the police. There's a guy out there sunning himself. So, yeah, no show on Thursday, so we're looking forward to a day off. I'm up in Williamsport tonight. I am very anxious to see the new ballpark. You know, they put $4 million into that park in Williamsport.
Renovations are incredible at that place.
Have you seen it?
I've seen some photos here and there.
Okay. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I did get one of those good news, bad news explanations last night. Now, the press where the writers are and where the other radio happens to be up there, home radio, and also the public address box, score box, things like that, has air conditioning. Our box where we do the games has not. So I got one of those good news, bad news last night. And I said, okay. Oh, I said, what's the good news? I said, the good news is they're putting an air conditioner in there. I said, oh. I said, what's the bad news? It's still in the box. I said, that's fine. I can install it myself. But I'm looking forward to it. There's several items about it. It's completely different. All chair back seats. That's one. The party deck, and they've got a name for it as to what the name of the... what they call it there. I'd have to, once I get there, I'll look at it and see. But they were building it all last summer. And Gabe Sinacropi, who's done, I think, a great job there, one of the great guys out there, says, we said, we kind of like to have that be down the road our gathering spot for a lot of people. Okay. Well, I understand that. It's cool. Well, then this came along with the $4 million. They took home plate. I believe they took home plate and moved it back 6 feet, so there's less foul territory. They now have enclosed bullpens, which I think are behind the wall now, which has cut down on foul territory dramatically. The playing surface was installed and paid for by Major League Baseball. You may be asking, why did Major League Baseball pay to have the playing surface put in? And it's quite simple. They because the Cardinals are playing the Pirates there August 20th in that invitation-only game, they took the responsibility of putting in, quote, a Major League field. So that's what they've done. A lot of money, and again, I don't know how it changes the ballpark. It used to be 345 down the left field line, 400 dead center, and 350 down the right field line, and the wall was 15 feet high all the way around. I don't know if that's changed. It'll be all, you know, we'll have to see once we get there as to what it's like.
And one thing notice is the dugouts were, I believe, like the front edge of both dugouts for decades. Actually, it was like right across from the actual, you know, first base and third base. I know part of the renovations, they moved those up too.
Yeah, no, the dugouts used to be across the river and there was a bridge. Now they're actually in normal spots.
Yeah, the new party deck down the first baseline, they call Logger's Landing. That alone was a little over $1 million to build.
Yeah, that was being built all last summer. And you could tell it was going to be a really impressive area. I was impressed by the fact they were just doing that. And the bottom line is that they've gone out and they've done even more than that. The pictures I've seen like you are really impressive. But I'm anxious to see what it looks like up close tonight. You know, hey, look, when you've been going there as often as I've been going there, you know, over a dozen years, you see something like this happen, I'm thrilled for them. I am thrilled for them. It's a 91-year-old park. 91 years old.
Yeah, I believe the only chairback seats that were in the stadium for so long were the box seats down below. And the ones, you know, from the walkway straight up, those are pretty much, you know, non-chairback seats. Just it's metal benches all the way across the field.
Right, yeah, all metal bleachers and things like that. And that's, you know, and that's in keeping with what, you know, you see in most minor league ballparks. I mean, it's... You know, Medler's all... Obviously, Medler's different. It's all... I mean, only bleachers are in right field. And that's, you know, it's not exactly a huge section. And, yeah, that's... well, so I'm anxious to see it tonight. And they'll play this evening, and... I think that's going to be quite a sight to see it tonight. The NBA, of course, has the draft in 2 days. The NHL expansion draft is tomorrow. And I'm very interested to see how the Las Vegas experiment works out. Look, I mean, let's be honest about it. We're talking Las Vegas here, right? So, in talking about Las Vegas, there's certain things about Las Vegas that are, you know, it's not like putting a team in Quebec. If you put a team in Quebec, they could be lousy for 5 years, and guess what? They'd sell out every game. Hey, look, the Canadians are coming in. Hey, the Bruins are coming in. You know, in Las Vegas, they'd better be respectable or really competitive by year three, or they're going to have a lot of people going, you know, let's go down to Mandalay Bay. Hey, let's go over to Caesars. Or if you're Sean, hey, Donnie and Marie are playing down at...
Big fan.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's... So, I mean, that's what you got. I think it's such a transient area that a lot of tourists... And I don't know what kind of home ice advantage you're going to have. Hey, the Rangers are in town. Let's go see the Rangers.
Well, Phil Bork gave a really refreshing take on the whole thing. He says that they're not going to... Pretty much, he said in a nutshell, he does not expect them to be doormats whatsoever.
Oh, no. Based on this draft, the expansion draft, they'll actually be good in the expansion draft. You're allowed to take one player from each team. So if they want Marc-Andre Fleury, they can get Marc-Andre Fleury. If they want James Neal, they can get James Neal. I mean, they're all sitting right there.
I mean, it's not all top of the heap, cream of the crop, pick of the pack players, but they're not all rejects and has-beens either. I mean, it's a great mix that are going to be up for the picking tomorrow night.
You can get Semikin from the Kings. You can get Bobby Ryan from Ottawa. You can get James Neal from Nashville. You can get Marc-Andre Fleury from the Penguins. I mean, okay, that's the start of a nucleus there. Hey, you know, all of them are from different teams. Kings, Nashville, Penguins, Ottawa. I mean, that's just four. There are other names out there. I mean, they actually should build, and they'll end up with the sixth overall pick in the entry draft. So we'll give them a fighting shot to get rolling. But my point is, they better be good. Because you're not exactly talking about a town with gigantic population that has a big tourist attraction, the Strip, which is where the arena is essentially located. It's just, I mean, it's right back in New York, New York. And you play games at night. What kind of town is Las Vegas at night? There are a lot of people out and about, and there are a lot of people working at night in Las Vegas. There's a lot of different variables here. Again, the first 2 years are going to be perfectly fine. There's going to be no issue the first 2 years, in my opinion. year three, once we get to the 2019-2020 season, they better start to have some level of respectability to them. If they're still a doormat, then it's going to be a doormat in terms of what the fans think, because remember what also happens in 2019-2020. The Raiders show up. So this is an interesting experiment. Like I said, there's certain places they could go. If they wanted to put a team in Quebec City, and money's an issue too. Remember, in Quebec City, being a Canadian franchise, they've got a problem. And the problem is that the Canadian dollar is worth about 73, 74 cents compared to the American dollar right now. Not good. Not good. Seattle wants a team. Seattle's putting $560 million into Key Arena. And their mayor is hinting, he's got like that little impish smile on his face every time they bring up his meetings with Gary Bettman, like he knows something. All right, we'll take a break. Jerry Dulac coming on, bottom of the hour. We'll talk golf and the Steelers on News Radio 1070. WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, coming up to Jerry Dulac, who's going to join us just after the bottom of the hour. Always enjoy my conversations with him. He's about as knowledgeable as anybody out there on a wide variety of subjects, including the Steelers. I know we're going to talk a little bit about the Steelers secondary, only because Sean mandates that we have to talk about the Steelers secondary, because it just, and he wakes up with great concerns. I keep telling you not to worry about things.
Ah, come on. We got Artie Burns, and we got Sean Davis now in for second, getting into their second season. Yeah, they got that first training camp under their belt. So, no worries about the secondary.
Who are you trying to convince, me or you? Yeah. Well, we'll talk to him about all that and more. The U.S. Open just finished up. We'll talk about U.S. Open venues, because you've now had the traditional Oakmont venue sandwiched between Chambers Bay and Erin Hills. It goes back to a more traditional venue in Shinnecock Hills next year. We'll talk to him about that. I know he's also been tweeting out a few things about how much he loves Bedford Springs. So we'll have to get that out there as well. But knowledgeable on many fronts. That's why we really like talking to Jerry Dulac. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Bottom of the hour, news update next, then Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Tuesday, a beautiful day. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. And always very pleased to be joined on the show by the outstanding Jerry Dulac. Welcome back. It's great to have you back with us.
Actually, still trying to get in touch with Jerry.
You're killing us, Sean. You're killing us.
I know.
At some point, you're going to be referred to as Suit Light. No, I'm just...
I blame his new phone. I remember last August when we had Charles Davis on Fox Sports, and he was referring to his phone as his Fisher-Price phone.
Yeah. Well, Matt Millen is a flip phone.
I think Peyton Manning still does, too, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. In fact, it was Matt that told me that Peyton Manning still had a flip phone. Like, are you kidding me? Wow. All right. Well, until we get Jerry on the line, we'll talk a little bit about the Steelers. Some information from Carnell Lake on the secondary that Jerry worked on. Golf with the U.S. Open being finished. You know, the fact that you've had two relatively new venues built in the 2000s in Chambers Bay and Erin Hills, sandwiching a traditional venue like Oakmont. And, of course, Marion before that, then a redone Pinehurst. And then next year you've got a more traditional venue in Shinnecock Hills. So I want to get his impression on that once we get an opportunity to talk with him. So looking forward to that conversation very much. Certain people just automatically, they're just on that automatic respect list. He's always been on the automatic respect list for me. Always enjoy talking to him.
Yeah, he's great with words and numbers, and that's actually what his feature is on the Steelers Radio Network when they kick off hour two of their pregame coverage. Does this little feature, you know, his look at words and numbers, and just kind of weaves numbers into the stats, and it's almost kind of like listening to a column on the radio. It's really neat.
Right. Oh no, he's just got a way of doing it. Remember, he spoke one time. It was a panel discussion. It took place at the Beaver Stadium Media Room. And I was the moderator of it. And he was great. And he just got up there, talked with all students, people there, about how he goes about his job, the kind of preparation he puts in. I mean, he has a lot of natural talent to begin with, but he doesn't take his talent for granted. He works hard at it. And to his credit, he's been able to lock into two really great things. He's been able to lock into Steelers in the NFL, and he's been able to lock in to golf. And it's nice when you can do that. So it's always been great for Dick Girardi, for example. DJ's always had that, you know, he can write about college basketball anytime he wants, and he can write about horse racing anytime he wants. That's great. And then he can mix in, you know, what he thinks about the Phillies, what he thinks about the Eagles, because Dick knows about every sport. But he can lock into two of those the way he can. And I think that's a big plus when you can do that. The fact that you can go from one sport to another sport, I've always said, keeps you fresh. And people have asked me, you know, hey, you know, you go from, now it may be minor league baseball, but it's still baseball. You go from baseball to football to basketball. It keeps you fresh. There's an energy to each one that is different, and there's a way to do it. Keeps you on your toes all the time. It's a different preparation for each one, too, which brings with it an energy. See, the Phillies play tonight. In fact, they've got some afternoon games coming up. I think they've got a game, Monday at Arizona? They've got a game Wednesday at Seattle next week, right? Something like that.
Two afternoon games next week for sure.
Yeah, and then they've got one this Thursday. So they've got that coming up. Then there's the 4th of July. I mean, there'll be a point where you'll miss us.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Are you sure about that? I hope you're right.
Monday, Wednesday next week are the day games. They got a 3:40 on Monday at Arizona. So it'll be a four-game series for Philly on Arizona. And then a quick two-game series out in Seattle.
Yeah,
it'll be a late-night game on Tuesday night. And then a 3:40 first pitch next Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, it's getaway day. They're probably coming back home after that, right?
Yes. Coming back to the East Coast anyway. They'll have next Thursday off, and then they'll wrap up June and crank up July with a weekend series at the Mets.
Ah, the Mets. World Series 2 years ago. Now they're a mess. You think about it. I mean, the Mets last year as defending National League champs. They were last year the defending National League champs, right? And they weren't even close. Where are they right now? Let's see. Where are the Mets? There they are. They're just ahead of the Phillies. Now, do you realize, okay, think about this. Five teams in each league make the playoffs, correct? In the National League, the five teams that will make the playoffs, if it were to start today, here's the amazing thing, is that there are only six teams in the National League playing over 500. That's it. In the American League, there are only six teams playing over 500. How about that? When you look at the National League Central, the Brewers are playing 528 ball. They are four games over 500. They're in first place. They're a game up on the Cubs, and the Pirates and Cardinals are five back. In the West, Colorado is playing 639 baseball. 639. 46-25. And they're only a half game up on the Dodgers. And they're only one game up in Arizona. The top three teams in the West are all playing over 600 ball. In fact, the top three teams in the West are playing 629 or better. Washington's playing 600 ball. So you have four teams playing 600 or better in the National League. You only have two other teams playing over 500, Milwaukee and the Cubs. And Milwaukee's four games over, the Cubs are one game over. In the American League, you've got one team playing over 600, and that's the Astros. They've got the best record in baseball. Houston's playing 662 ball, right? They have 23 games over 500. Yankees, Red Sox, Tampa Bay, Cleveland, Minnesota. That's it. Everybody else is playing under 500. So in Major League Baseball right now, you have 18 teams playing under 500 baseball. 18 out of 30 playing under 500. It's now it's only June the 20th, but that is... I don't know if that's what baseball wants. I mean, but the West is incredible. The National League West. Three teams playing over 600 separated by a game. I mean, I don't mean like barely over 600. The Arizona Diamondbacks, whom the Phillies will play this weekend and next Monday, the Arizona Diamondbacks are in third place playing 629 ball. 629 ball, you should be up probably by eight games in the standings over anybody else. They're a game out in third place. Now, it should be pointed out they also would be they would also make the playoffs. They'd be in a one-game playoff with, at the moment, the Dodgers.
Sounds very reminiscent to the National League Central standings from a couple of seasons ago when you had Pittsburgh, St. Louis, and Chicago just going tooth and nail between the three of them.
Right, and they went all back and forth, but not to this level, though. I mean, they all had good records, but not to, you know, you're talking, again, you're playing 629 baseball, Sean. All right? So the next question is, how many games in front are you? Oh, you're behind. Oh, okay. You got to be close. So, I mean, how far behind are you in second place? Oh, you're in third place. That's remarkable. Now, I want to give Arizona and Colorado all the credit in the world because, hey, Arizona's kind of hovering in the middle of the division. Colorado's been down by the bottom fighting San Diego for a few years now. And it's now the Giants that have fallen way back. I mean, the Giants have fallen way back. Here's a franchise won three times in a five-year span. They're playing 361 baseball. I mean, they're even in the loss column with the Phillies, and they have four more wins right now because they played four more games. But that is a wild scenario. Arizona's 44-26. They have the third best record in the National League, which also is the third best record in their division. They have the fourth best record in all of baseball and the third best record in their own division. Placement means something. The Dodgers have won 9-10. The D-backs have won 9-10. Oh, Colorado lost two games on both of them only because they've won 7 out of 10. Imagine winning 7 out of 10 and your two closest pursuers have gained on you. It's amazing. Over the last 10 games, outside of those three, no team has won more than 6 games in their last 10. Miami's won, the Pirates are the other. In the American League, in the last 10 games, the Royals have won 8 out of 10. Then the Indians and the Texas Rangers have won 7 out of 10. I mean, the Astros are playing 662 ball, and they're slumping. They're 4-6. The Red Sox just took 2 out of 3 from them. Astros have scored 109 more runs than the opposition. The Yankees have scored 108 more. Dodgers have scored 102 more. Wild, wacky stuff. Diamondbacks have won 7 in a row. Rockies have won 5 in a row. Dodgers have won 4 in a row. The only other team that's as hot as they are would be the Cleveland Indians, who have won 6 in a row. This is all in one division. It's all in one division. You look, I mean, like I said, Colorado's won. Colorado's playing, what did I say, 649 ball or something like that? So they've won 7 of their last 10, so they're playing 700 ball their last 10 games. Lost 2 games in the standings. Unreal. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show today. It's interesting that over time and circumstances, you can change your opinion or alter your opinion along the way because circumstances dictate that. And I'll give you a couple of examples, because I want to talk about, especially in the next half hour, about high school players going from high school right into the NBA draft. And this is where I've altered my opinion over time. I'll give you a couple of examples. I think some people have the impression I don't like the Olympics, and that is not true. That could not be further from the truth. I love watching the Olympics. I think it's fun. It's great. I mean, events, you name it. Maybe not every event may be my cup of tea, just like every event is not yours, but I really enjoy the Olympics. What I don't like is the fleecing of cities by the IOC, and that's what it is. I don't think that I would come out against the Olympics if my city were bidding for it. And the reason is not that I don't love the Olympics. I don't want, as a taxpayer, to have a tax burden placed upon my children or grandchildren 30, 40, and 50 years from now. That's my issue with it. In other words, the IOC makes the city go out and they've got to put together all this cash and front it and build venues and things like that. And it's illogical to me. It's illogical to me to have it done that way. So I love the Olympics. I don't like how they go about the bidding for the Olympics, and that there should be one venue and have it there, a one winter venue, have it there, and then maintain it and then take the financial burden off individual cities, because there's a reality that as time goes and the way budgets are and the way pension plans are and things like that, fewer and fewer cities can afford to do it. So that's one way where I've altered it. So it's not that I don't like the Olympics. I love the Olympics. But I don't like the money that cities are required to pour into them, which then falls upon the taxpayer to do it. And it's not like Sochi, where the Russian government does it. And another one is, like, for example, the Penn State-Pitt rivalry. Over the years, when Penn State had 8 conference games and 4 non-conference openings, I was all for playing Pitt as often as possible. But now that the conference has 9 games and you only have 3 openings, I don't want Penn State to be Iowa, where Iowa's playing Iowa State every single year and doesn't have schedule flexibility. One of the bigger complaints about Iowa football is that no matter how good they are, they're never going to ascend to the top because they're always stuck playing that Iowa State game every year. They cannot get an RPI game in there. That is a difference maker. And my worry about Penn State and Pitt is that Pitt then becomes that kind of game for Penn State. Whereas scheduling in Auburn, like they did in 21-22, that's a kind of game with some punch to it that makes everyone perk up nationally when they see it. That has always been my issue there. Not playing Pitt. You know, you want to play for the national championship. Is that game good enough to be a difference maker when it's all said and done that can get you into the Final Four? I think it's a legitimate question worth talking about. Well, my view has changed over time when it comes to the NBA draft. One and done is not working. And while I've been a major proponent of 2 and 20 years of age, because I think it would benefit the NBA to have a little bit more mature league, and I think it would benefit college basketball, it has become very apparent that that is not going to happen either. And since it's become very apparent that it's not going to happen, because the Players Association will not allow it to happen, then I think you have to acquiesce and just say, you know what, the heck with it. You want to come out of high school? You want to take a shot at the NBA? Go ahead. Now, there's some caveats I would throw in there. I'm going to talk about that in the next half hour that might give a little leeway on the draft that could maybe open the door for college.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.